Okay, hello everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. Again, Erev Shabbos to all. So tonight we have two shiur sponsors, generously sponsored by my friend Malki Sultan. Malki and I became, I would say, Zoom friends as a result of the COVID pandemic. We started learning together. Malki started joining our shiur on Zoom, and she is sponsoring tonight the Zecher Nishmas, her mother, Alaha HaShalom, Chaya Edel, Bas Shlomo Zalman Halevi. She was a Holocaust survivor, the next youngest in her family. She was only 15 when she arrived in Auschwitz, where most of her family was killed. After a brief stay in Sweden after liberation, she came to the United States. Malki says she then married Malki's father, Armeev Asim Shana, also a survivor. To my mother, Malki said, family was very important, and she opened her home to my father's parents who survived the war. They lived with us and were treated with the utmost respect and love. The biggest compliment I can pay my mother is that aside from being an incredible balbusta and baking the best kakash, she and my father gave us a home filled with love. We might not have had a lot in terms of material wealth, but we had everything we could ask for in terms of a loving home. She passed away suddenly a week before Purim, just before her 93rd birthday. We were blessed to have had her in our lives until now. Tehi zecha baruch. So the Divrei Torah we will share should be an Alina Shamer for Chaya Edel Bas Shlomo Zalman Halevi Ala Sham. Our second sponsor is my friend Ellen Goldstein. We too, I think, became acquainted through YU Torah and Zoom Shiurim. And Ellen is sponsoring with Shavach Vehoda Tokosh Baruch Hu for Baruch Hashem. Good news. Ellen writes that her great-grandson was hospitalized the Shabbos before Pesach with both pneumonia and RSV. This dedication is in gratitude to his complete recovery, and especially he was home in time to spend Pesach with the family. May all our tefillos, Ellen concluded, be answered l'tova. And we thank both Malki Sultan and Ellen Goldstein very much for their dedication and sponsorship to this week's Pirkei Avos Shir. So I want to talk about Midos. And we are in the time period of Sfiras HaOmer, when the students of Rabbi Akiva died, Mipnei Shelo Nahagu Kavod Zelazaz, per the Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, Samech Beis Amad Beis. I want to talk specifically about the Mishnah that tells us, Perek Dalet Mishnah Chav Ches, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Hakina VaHataiva VaHakavod, Motzin Es HaAdam Min HaOlam. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar teaches us, he used to say, Hakina, jealousy, VaHataiva, lust, the hakavod, the desire for honor, motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam, removes a person from this world. So in order to understand this idea of kina and taiva, really, we need to look at the first time this midah appears for us in the Chumash. Hafoch ba v'hafoch ba dekula ba, turn the Torah over and over, for everything is in it. And so much of, not so much, everything that happens to us in our lives can be found somewhere in the Torah. So for that, we go back to Sefer Bereishis. Now, in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Aleph is the Maisa of creation. Maisa Bereishis, Perek Beis, further, Adam was fashioned, Isha was built from his side bone, they were put into the Garden of Eden, God issued the first commands, which was eat from the fruits of the garden, but don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'ra. Perek Gimel sees Isha meeting the Nachash. The first sin occurs in Perek Gimel, the consequences of the first sin. And then we come to Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet tells us about two brothers, the first two brothers in history, and that is Cain and Hevel. So Bereishis Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. V'ha'adam yada as Chava ishto, and the man knew, and here we're talking about in a biblical sense, Chava his wife, Vatahar. And therefore, after they had a relation, Vatahar, she conceived a Tehilat es Kayin. So her first child, she says, Kayin, that's the name. A Toman, she says, Kanisi Ish as Hashem. I have acquired a man with God. So he's born as Kayin. And I thought of something interesting that I never realized before, actually. Usually, in the Chumash, when a child is born, it says, Vateleid Bein, she gave birth to a son, Vatikra Eshemo, and she called his name, or Vateleid Bein, Vayikra Eshemo. In this case, this is very fascinating. It actually says, Vatahar, Vateleid Eskayin. It doesn't say, Vatahar, Vateleid Bein, Vatikra Eshemo, Kayin, Vatomer, Kanisi, Ish Es Hashem. This is amazing. When he's born, it doesn't say she had a son. She says, and she had Kayin. What a gewaldic thing the Torah is telling us. So from the time that he is born, there's a certain midah that defines him, and it is found in his name. And we're going to talk about that, of course. Vatayir es Kayin, Vatomer Kanish, the Isa Shashem, Pasuk Beis. Vatosefu, that this she continued to give birth. Asachiv es Havel, so she had another child. Now she has. Vayhi Havel Roetzon, so obviously these two boys grow up. And Havel becomes a shepherd. Vakayin ha Oved Adama. And Kayin was working the ground, he was a farmer. And some years passed. So Kain brings an offering to Hashem. Remember, Kain's a farmer. He works the ground. So he brings, Rashi tells us, flax from the ground as an offering to Hashem. Pasuk Dalet, Veheve Hilvi Gamhu, Mibchoros Tzono, Michalvein. But Hevel also brought an offering from the shearing of his sheep and from their fats. Vayusha Hashem el Hevel, Ve'amichaso. God turned to Hevel and to his sacrifice, his offering, which means Al Kain Val Michaso, Lo Sha'a. Hashem did not turn to Kayin and his offering. So what just happened here? Both brothers brought an offering from something that they're involved in their profession. Kayin brings the fruits from the ground. Rashi says he brings flax, an offering for Hashem. Hevel brings also an offering, but since he's a shepherd, he brings the shearings of his sheep and he brings wool. And God turns to Hevel and to Kayin and his offering he does not turn. Vayichar l'Kayin me'od. Kayin is very angry. Vayiplu panav, his face falls. Vayomer Hashem al Kayin. Hashem says to Kayin, Lama charalach? What's the problem? Why are you so angry? V'lama naflu panecha? Why did your face fall? What do you mean? Why did my face fall? Because I want what Hevel has. Hevel has your attention. I also want your attention. So Hashem says, Hashem gives him a Musar Shmus. And he says, Lama charalach, v'lama lafnu, v'not lahu, sorry. Lama charalach, v'lama naflu panecha. Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? And now, so first he asks a question, just like Hashem, in the aftermath of the first sin to Adam, the first thing Hashem did was ask a question, Ayaka. So here, in the aftermath of the second sin, which is murder, Rachmat al Etzan, Hashem also asks a question, why are you angry? Oh, I'm sorry, not yet. He's going to ask him a question after. He asks a question here after the midah of jealousy is apparent. Why are you angry and why did your face fall? Halo imtetiv se'is, behold, if you will do good, you will be lifted up. Ve'imlo tetiv, and if you do not do good, la pesach chatas rovetz, sin crouches at the door. The elecha tishukaso, its desire, its longing is to you. Va'ato timshalo, but you can rule over it. So Hashem gives him a Musar Shmus. So he has a certain negative midah within himself, very obviously. And we could identify that as jealousy. Kain is angry because he's jealous of his brother Hevel. Hashem turned to the offering of Hevel. He did not turn to the offering of Kain. So Kain is jealous. So Hashem comes with a question. In the aftermath of sin, God comes with a question. Why are you angry? Why did your face fall? If you do good, you will be lifted up. If you do not do good, sin crouches at the entrance, meaning the entrance to your heart, and its desire, its longing is towards you, but you can rule over it. Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Achiv, and right after God's Musar Shmus, we don't know what happened, but Kayin said to Hevel his brother, and now the Torah does not tell us what Kayin said to Hevel his brother, only Vayibios and Basada, it was when they were in the field, Vayakom Kayin al Hevel Achiv, Kayin got up to Hevel his brother, Vayahargeir, and he killed him. We don't know what he said. Vayomer Hashem al Kayin, now Hashem comes back with another question. So after the first sin, when Adam ate from the Tzadah, so Hashem asked him a question, where are you? Did you eat from the true fruit I told you not to eat from? After the second sin, kina, Hashem says, why are you angry? Why did your face fall? After the third sin, murder, Hashem says, eh, hevel achicha, where's hevel your brother? Vayomer lo yadati, says, I don't know, Hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's keeper? Vayomer mal sisa, Hashem says, what did you do? Kol demei achicha tso akim alai min ha'adama. The voice of your brother's bloods are screaming to me from the ground. Rashi kasha, why does it say demei achicha? The bloods of your brother. So just say the blood of your brother. So Rashi says one of two things. One, he killed his brother Hevel and all future generations that would have come from Hevel. So therefore called the Me'achicha. Didn't only kill one person. You also have ramifications on the generations who are not going to come out from him. And one of this sponsors tonight is dedicating in memory of her mother, Chaya Eda Bashlom Zalman Alevi Allah Hashem. She was a Holocaust survivor and almost her whole family was murdered in Auschwitz. So the Nazis didn't only kill only 6 million Jews. They killed all the Jews who would have come, all the generations that would have come. They didn't just kill that person's blood. They killed all the bloods, the Zarachai, the Kayama, that would have been. So that's called the Me'achicha. Secondly, called the Me'achicha, Rashi says, so it's the first time there is murder. They didn't know where the Yetzias HaNeshama goes from. They didn't know how to kill somebody. So he, Rachman al-Litzlan, hit him, stabbed him in multiple places until his soul left him. And therefore the blood from all the multiple stab wounds, Rachman al-Litzlan is calling out to me. Now Hashem curses him, just like Hashem asked Adam a question, and then he cursed Adam. The same thing here. Ba'ata arur ata min Adama, you are more cursed than the ground that opened up its mouth to take the blood of your brother from your hand. You will work the ground, and he is cursed. Well, and you're going to be a wanderer, etc. And then Cain says, is my sin too great to bear? But what I want to speak about is what motivated the sin of Cain is very much what Rabbi Elazar HaKapra says a person must stay away from. Hakina hataiva v'hakavod motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. It is not an accident. Nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident. That Cain's name, Kuf Yud Nun, is the same name almost, minus Alf, as Kina. You see the Kuf and you see the Nun. So we know by now, because I've said it 1,000 times, that every single thing in the Torah is with intent, and every single word on Lashon HaKodesh is also with intent and comes to teach us a message and a lesson. So if Kina has a Kuf and a Nun, and Kayin's name is Kuf and Nun, Kayin Kina, then it's very clear and very obvious that what motivated Kayin here was Kina. And I think it's incredible. Again, I never recognized this before, Mamish. Usually in the Chumash, when a child is born, it says, Vatahar Vateleid Bein. Vatikra as Shemo, Reuven. Okay? Here it says, Vatar Vatelet as Kayin. Wow. She gave birth to Kayin. There's something foreshadowed in the personality of this child that he will have the midah of Kina. He wants what Hevel has, which in this case is God's attention. Taiva, he is a desire for what Kayin has, which is Kayin's offering that was obviously accepted. Kavod, he wants the honor for himself of God accepting his offering and not accepting Hevel's offering. I also noticed something particularly astonishing to me. When you look at script, okay, I'm talking about script letters in Lashon HaKodesh, the Kuf and the Nun Sofis are the longest letters in the Aleph-Beis in script. Listen, Aleph-Beis, think in your head when I'm saying the letters. Aleph-Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yod Chof Lamed, the highest, Mem Nun Lamed Mem Nun Samech Ayin Pei Tzadi Kuf Reishin and Tav. The longest two letters in script Lashon HaKodesh is Kuf and Nun. So what does that come to teach you? That with Kina / Kayin, we bring ourselves and everything around us down, 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 down. The Kuf is the longest. The Nun Sofist is the longest, and in between you have a Yod Kayin. Okay? In between you have a Yod. The Rav Shetzarab is Chusi Agin Aleinu, whose Yurtzeit was today, Yod Aleph Iyar, which is a particular reverence to my family because my husband is 7 or 8 generations Ben Acher Ben, I think 8, and my father-in-law 7, which means that my boys are 9 generations Ben Acher Ben from Rav Naftali Tzvi Mi Rav Shetz, Chusi Agin Aleinu. So he says that the Yod in Lashon HaKodesh and Chumash represents, it's a play in words, okay? Yod Yidin. Yod Yid. You got it? Yod, Yid. So if you look at the word Kayin, Kuf, Yod, Nun, or there's a Yid in between. And what does that Yid do with his jealousy? He brings down one person on one side, he brings down the other person on the other side, and everyone has a Nefila. Nun stands for Nafla, Lo, Tosif, Kun, Besulas, Yisrael. Everyone has a Nefila because of the jealousy. In this case, Kayin had a tremendous Nefila because he becomes the first murderer. Hevel, Rachman al-Islam, had a literal Nefila because he ends up going down, down, down with his death. So what does Kina, jealousy, do? We look at somebody else and we think, I want what you have. Why should you have that? I want it also. And that's exactly what Kayin did. Why did God turn to your mincha and not to my mincha? Why do you have the kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam paying attention to you? And Nami, I desire tisave. I desire what you have and I don't want you to have it. And this precipitated the first murder in the world. Kuf, the longest. Yud, the yid. In between. Nun, also the longest letter in script. Lashon HaKodesh to teach us that a yid with kinnah, Rachman al son, brings himself and everything else down. I want to share a beautiful vart that I heard from Rabbi Zev Lev. So often when we hear Musar, a Dvar Torah, Shir, we think to ourselves, I'm perfect in that midah. It applies to somebody else. This doesn't apply to me. Rabbi Zav Lav says, what's going on? And he quotes Rav Yehuda Cooperman. When I was in Mechala, Rav Yehuda Cooperman, now Zatzal, was still there. He was the head, the dean, the manahal, whatever exactly his title is, I don't know officially, but he was there as still the head of the school. And when we went to Poland, actually in June, after my Mechala year, he led the trip to Poland. Okay, so Rav Yehuda Cooperman was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was also a Baki in the Meshe Chachma and a Mechaber Sfarim. Rav Yehuda Cooperman says, you can't ignore the pshat of Chumash. There's always a pshat. Sometimes we get so busy with the drash, the midrashic interpretations, and the deeper level of understanding that we forget that there's a story on the pshat. Hashem is telling us something from the way that he wrote and composed the Torah. So what's going on here? Cain is clearly jealous. We already spoke about the significance of his name, Cain. He kills his brother, Heva, and then Hashem comes to him. And he says, ready, before he kills his brother, okay? So he has these negative feelings of kina, taiva, and kavod. And Hashem says to Cain, Perek Dalet Pasuk Vav in Bereishis, Lama Charalach, why is it angry to you? Lama Naflu Panecha, and why has your face fallen? Hello Im Teitiv Seis Pasuk Zayin, behold, if you do good, you will be lifted up. Im Lo Teitiv La Pesach Chatas Rovetz, if you do not improve, then sin crouches at the entrance. And its desire is towards you. However, you can rule over it. So Hashem is giving him a muster shmuz. Hashem is saying, listen, you have no reason to be upset. If you improve, you could be lifted up. If you don't improve, the Yetzer Hara is waiting with its tentacles at the entrance to your heart. Its desire is toward you, but you can rule over it. What's the very next thing we see in the Chumash? Pasuchas. What is the next thing it tells us? Vayomer Kain al Hevel Achiv. Kain says to Hevel his brother. What does he say to Hevel's brother? We don't know what he says. Because the next words are, Vayhi biyosem basada vayakum kain al Hevel achi vayargeyu. We don't know what he says. Because the next words are, when they're in the field, Cain gets up to Hevel's brother and he kills him. What does he say? Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman says, and I heard this from Rabbi Zav Lav Shlita, Yibadu Chaim Tovim Varuchim. Rabbi Zav Lav says, what does Cain say to Hevel? It's very obvious, says Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman. What's the immediate thing that Cain heard before he spoke to Hevel's brother? Musar shoes from God. He heard God say, improve your ways, you'll be lifted up. If you don't improve, the Yetzer Hara will rule over you. Cain says, wow, that's a gevaldik musar var. I can't believe it. What a smart thing that God just said. Let me run and tell Hevel, my brother. Hevel needs the musar. I don't need the musar. It can't be that God possibly meant it for me. It must be it's for somebody else. Rabbi Zav Lav, so often when we hear Musar, we think of the next guy. We think of our neighbor who needs to improve. We think of our spouse who needs to improve. We think of our child who needs to improve. We think of our student who needs to improve. We think of our Rav who needs to touch up on his Shabbos drashos. Chas v'sham. What should we think when we hear Musar? Shmuz, it's for me. Cain immediately deflected the Musar. God comes and he says to him, listen, you can really improve. Vayomer Cain al Hevel Achiv. Cain goes immediately to have his brother. He says, you should hear the Musar Shmuz I just got. You could really benefit from this Musar. A person has to know that the Torah is talking to each and every one of us. My daughter told me when she was in TMM, now Baruch Hashem, she's in Eretz Yisrael, now finishing up her seminary year, Baruch Hashem. But I don't remember which teacher, in what context, or what shiur or speech they heard it in. But from, if you write F-R-U-M vertically, not on the horizontal plane, you write on the vertical plane, F-R-U-M. So you have the U in the middle. Everyone above you is fanatically religious, F-R. Everyone below you is modern Orthodox, and you're in the middle. I am perfect. Everyone above me, they're chanyaks. They're fanatically religious. I don't need to be like them. Everyone below me, they're not good enough. They're too modern. You're in the middle. F-R-U-M. We learn from here, says Rabbi Zav Lav, that when a person hears a Musar Shmuz, who's Ribbono Shel Olam talking to? Hashem was talking to Cain. Cain immediately runs and he tells it to Hevel. When Hevel doesn't accept the Musar, Cain gets up and he kills him. But it wasn't meant for Hevel, it was meant for Cain. Why? Because Cain, as his name indicates, Kuf Yod Nun, have the midah of kina. And that midah of kina precipitated and caused, it was the springboard for the first murder between brothers. The first sin is chinam between brothers. And as his name indicates, when there's a Yid, Yod, who has kina, Kuf Nun, the longest letters in script, he brings himself and everybody else down, down, down. Only when we take the Musar for ourselves and not be so worried about somebody else, Their avodas Hashem is their avodas Hashem. My avodas Hashem is my avodas Hashem. I have to work on improving myself. Hashem says to Cain, "Va'ata tim shobol." There's hope. You can rule over this yetzer hara of yours. Unfortunately, Cain does not accept that, and this is the first murder and the root of all kina in our world. So again, what does Commissioner tell us? Rabbi Elazar Kapper Omer, "Hakina va'tayva va'kavod motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam." It also relates very much to the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos. Why? Because on Shavuos, when we got the Torah, okay, we are told this Seres HaDibros, okay, Perachav of Sefer Shemos, it was the greatest revelation in the history of mankind. And what did Hashem do? He gave us the Seres HaDibros. They start with Anochi, Lo Yia, Lo Tisha, Zachar and Shamash Yom HaShabbos Kacho, Kabes of Vicha Vasimecha, then there's Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Signov, Lo Sana, and the 10th Dibra is Shemos Perachav, Pasuk Yedalid, Lo Sachmod Beis Re'echa, Lo Sachmod Eishas Re'echa, V'avdo, V'amaso, V'sharo, V'chamro, V'chol Asher L'Re'echa. So what is the 10th Dibra? You know, first impressions are lasting. First impressions are very important. But there's also an expression, Achon, Achon, Chaviv. And that is that the last thing you hear is also very important. Not only is the first thing that I hear important, but the last thing that I hear is also important. What is the last thing Hashem said at Matan Torah, the final dibra that he wants us to remember? You shall not covet. You shall not covet. Lo sachmod beis re'echa, do not covet the house of your friend. Lo sachmod eishas re'echa, do not covet the wife of your friend. Va'avadova amaso, his manservant and his maidservant. Today you could say, you know, the cleaning help and the baby nurse. V'sharo v'chamaro, his ox, his donkey. Today you could say three cars and, or four cars. V'chol asher l're'echa, and everything that your friend has, you shall not desire. My son, many years ago, Yitzchak Yonatan told over a Dvar Torah that he heard in school. What is v'chol asher l're'echa? Why does the pasuk end by telling me thou shall not covet the house of your friend, the wife of your friend, the servants of your friends, the animals of your friends? What's v'chol asher l're'echa? V'chol asher l're'echa is you think you only see the nice things in his life. You see a beautiful home. You see a beautiful wife. You see he has so much staff running his home. You see he has 10 cars or 5 cars or 4 cars and you're still driving one old one from 1986. V'chol asher l're'echa means he also has a lana nisyonos. He's carrying around this whole big pekla and all that your friends have. If you're so jealous of him, you have to keep in mind, you want his life exactly? It comes along with v'chol asher l're'echa. He's carrying a big package, just like you're carrying a package. Don't be so jealous of him, because if you're jealous of what he has, it means you have to take all he has, which includes his nisyonos. I would venture to say that none of us want anybody else's nisyonos, because we have enough of our own. Furthermore, in Devarim Perek Hey, when the Seres HaDibros are repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu, the final one is, interesting, listen carefully, Moshe adds a word, V'lo sachmod eishas re'echa, you shall not desire or covet the friend of your wife, your friend's wife, V'lo tit aveh beit re'echa, you shall not desire the house of your friend. So Moshe adds a midah. When the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the Torah in Perachov, Av Sefer Shmos, Parashas Yisrael, the 10th Dibra, we're coming up to Matan Torah and Shavuos. Matan Torah saying is Lo Sachmod, and the only verb that is used, the only Mida that's used in the Hashem's words in Yisrael is Lo Sachmod. Lo Sachmod Beis Recha, Lo Sachmod Eishas Recha. When Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the Seres HaDibros, he enhances, so to speak, we know Devarim is Moshe's own words, Elad Devarim Asher Dibir Moshe, Kol Yisrael, and he says not only should you have no chemda, lo tachmod eishas re'echa, but also v'lo tit aveh beis re'echa. You should not covet, and you should also not desire. Now the mission that we are speaking about tonight and next week as well, but as well as Hashem barring unforeseen circumstances, is Rabbi Elazar HaKapper Omer, hakina hataiva v'hakavod motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. We can strongly see how kina and chemda are totally related. If a person is jealous of what somebody else has, then clearly they are going to desire very strongly what the friend has. Just like in Cain's case, he had strong kina, so he desired to be like Havel. He desired God's attention. He desired something that he could not have. It led him to murder. Says Moshe Rabbeinu in Parakei of Parshas Vechanan, V'lo tachmod eishas re'echa, V'lo tit aveh beis re'echa, Sadehu v'avado v'amaso shuro v'chamro v'chol asher l're'echa. Just like God ends with chol asher l're'echa, and he also includes the servants and the animals, so too does Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have this inyan where we are forbidden to covet, and to desire. Lo tachmod and lo tit aveh is the one and two aspects of the same tenth dibra. So, Rabbi Elazar Kapper Omer, just to remind us where we're holding, kakina va taiva va kavod motzina sa adam min olam. Kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, kavod, the lust for honor, takes a person out of this world. Quite literally, because of Cain's negative traits, Hevel was taken out of this world and Cain was cursed. There's an extremely famous Ibn Ezra, on the Aseres HaDibros in Shamos. You may have heard it, you might be familiar with it outside. We are going to learn through it together in this year, and it's extremely powerful. Because the 10 Dibros of feeling, can God really command me not to have a feeling? Now the Mefarshim explained that Chemda, the love, the Isher, is really, if it's such a strong desire, it will cause you to take that object. For example, you have such a strong desire for your friend's house that, I don't know, you're going to steal the lachta from inside of it. Such a strong desire for your friend's wife that, Rachman Son, you're going to come to take her for yourself. You have such a strong desire for his servants that you kidnap them or you pay them, you know, $5 more an hour, and all of a sudden they're your servants. Okay? So the real isra of chamda is that it will lead you to do a behavior that is forbidden and take something that does not rightfully belong to you. And as we go into this Ibn Ezra, which is very famous, keep in mind that lo tachmod and lo tit aveh are put together by Moshe Rabbeinu in the 10th Dibra in Sefer Devarim. So let us look at this Ibn Ezra together, which you can see here on my screen. Lo tachmod, you shall not covet. Anashim rabim yitmahu al zot ha-mitzvah. Ibn Ezra says, you know, a lot of people wonder about this mitzvah. Eich ya adam shelo yachmod davar yefeh b'libo. How could it be that a person does not desire a nice thing that he sees in his heart? You see nice things. There are pleasant things, there are nice things that people have all around us. How is it possible to tell a man, don't desire that in your heart? It's a play on words from Isha, getting a pair of gimel. She desired something that was nechmad lamar einav. She saw it was nechmad lahatskil. I'm not going back to Bereshit Perikimel right now, but this is a paraphrase on the Isha when she desired the fruit. Now her chemda for that fruit was so strong, her taiva for the fruit was so strong, she took it. And that's what the Torah is warning us against. If you have such a strong feeling, you'll come to actually take what belongs to someone else. Kayin's feelings for kina, taiva, and kavod were so strong that he actually took Hevel's life. But we wonder about this, as Ibn Ezra. How could it be to tell somebody that they shouldn't have that desire in their heart? Call Mashu Nechmad Lamarina. If he sees nice things, he sees his friends going on winter vacation every year, he sees his friends building fine homes, and he sees his friends beautiful cars, and he thinks to himself, I want it also. He sees these pleasing things. How could you tell him not to feel that in your heart? Va'ata Aitain the Chamashal. The Ibn Ezra gives us an extremely famous mashal that he coined. This is a well-known and very important piece by Ibn Ezra. And even if you know it and if you learned it before, it's definitely kedai to learn it again. Da, ki ish kafri, sheyesh lo das nechona. Okay, let's say, he says, we're talking about a villager, a simple man who lives in the village, somewhere in the king's, you know, kingdom, and he is of sound mind. And that's going to be very important for the duration of this piece of Ibn Ezra. So you have a villager, a commoner, and he is of sound mind. He's mentally stable. V'hu ra'a bas melech shehi yafa. He comes for some reason, you know, to Shushan Abira, to the capital city where the king's palace is, for an errand on that day, or he has to pay taxes, or whatever it is, and he sees the princess. Shehi yafa, she's very beautiful, the princess. She's dressed in finery, and he's dressed in shmata. She's riding a carriage with white stallions, and he's driving an old broken-down donkey. She's rich, and he's poor. She's beautiful, and he's not, but he's a man, and he's of sound mind, remember. So does this Kafri, this villager, this commoner, look at that princess and say, wow, I wish I could be with her? He doesn't, says Ibn Ezra. Why not? He knows it's so impossible that he doesn't even desire her. Maybe the woman who lived two streets away from him back in his town, maybe that woman he desires. But this woman is so off limits. He knows she's so off limits. He has no desire for her. Lo yachmer oso bilibo sheish kavimo. He says it befavish. He has no desire in his heart to sleep with her. Why not? Ki adak, he's a lo yitachein. He knows it's impossible. He knows it's never going to happen. The king's not going to make a shidduch. Well, this, you know, John Doe, simpleton, poor guy from town number 85 in his province of 127 provinces, it's not going to happen. And therefore, even though she's a very beautiful, fancy, rich, famous princess, lo yachmarosa bilibo, sheyishkav ima, ki adak hizol etachin. He has no desire in his heart to sleep with her, because he knows it's never going to happen. Va'al tachshov zeha kafrishu ke'achad min ha-meshuga'im, sheyit aveh sheyelo knefayim lo'of ha-shemayim. He says, this villager is not a crazy guy. He's not a meshugane. That's his words, not mine. Va'al tachshov zeha kafrishu ke'achad min ha-meshuga'im. He's not a mishugana. And he's a realistic person. He, just like he doesn't pray for wings so he could fly to the sky, he doesn't pray for this woman. Just like wings are off limits, so too flying to the sky is off limits. So too sleeping with the princess is off limits, so he doesn't even desire it. So how can we understand it? I'll tell you, okay? Baruch Hashem, life is very busy. So maybe like me, you have a lot of things to do. You have to work, and you have to do laundry, and you have to do errands, you have to unpack the errands, and you have to cook for Shabbos, and you have to do more laundry, and you have to do another errand, and you have to cook some more. Baruch Hashem, we should have koach. So maybe it would be very helpful to have wings to fly in Shemayim. I could avoid all the traffic. It would be wonderful. I wouldn't have to worry. I could fly from store to store, and then I could have a magic carpet behind me that carries my groceries. I'll never have to put quarters in the meter. I don't have to worry about the meter running out. I don't have to fight for parking the gourmet glot parking lot. No, so I'll just daven for wings. Why don't you daven for wings? It would be so wonderful to have knafayim lo'of ha-shamayim. Why don't you daven for wings like a bird to fly? Because it's never going to happen. It's so unrealistic. Does anyone here ever desire wings to fly to Shemayim? Why not? It would be wonderful. No, wouldn't it? It's ridiculous. You're not going to have wings to fly to the sky. So too, this villager doesn't desire this princess. Why not? Because he knows it's never happening. It's not going to happen. If you're listening closely to the Lashon of the Ibn Ezra and following along with me, you'll see he focuses on the word taiva as well, not just chemda. Okay? Even though this is his comments to Yisro, lo tachmod, he includes taiva, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's Isra Ezra. Okay? Just like a man, a son, okay, even an adult son, he doesn't desire to lay with his mother. Why not? The guy could have the most beautiful mother in the world. Maybe she was Miss America. Maybe she won the Miss Israel pageant. Maybe she was Miss Universe. So why doesn't he desire to sleep with his mother? He knows that she's off limits. She's forbidden. You don't sleep with your mother. So just like a normal person does not desire to sleep with their mother, and just like a normal person does not daven to be like a bird who flies to the sky, so too that villager is not desiring, he's not davening to conquer the princess. He's no taiva for the princess. Why doesn't he have a taiva for her? She's totally off limits. A person's mother is totally off limits, so there's no taiva and chemda. Wings to Shamayim are totally off limits, so I don't have a taiva for them. He's made a custom from his youth that she's asar kacha. Kol maschil tzarich sheyeda ki isha yafa mam. And so too, every discerning person must know. When it comes to a beautiful woman, or when it comes to money, lo yimtzeenu adam ba'avur chach maso v'dasa. A person does not acquire anything in life, says the Ibn Ezra, from a spouse to money. A person does not acquire through his wisdom and through his discernment. Rak ka'asher chalak lo Hashem, only what God apportioned him. We can do as much hishtalus as we want. We're not going to get more, and we're not going to get less than what Hashem desires us to have. Whatever God apportions, that's what we're going to get. So really, when we have a midah of kina, taiva, and kavod, it's a denial of Hashem. In a sense, we're denying Hashem. I am jealous of what that person has. I desire what that person has. I want kavod that you have. What am I saying? God didn't do a good job in apportioning gifts. He should have given me what they have. So how could I say this? Does Hashem not run the world? When we were in Eretz Yisrael the last Sunday and we visited the Gedolim. So one of the Gedolim said to one of the people in our party, you know, the person said, what should I do when I feel nervous? You read the world events. Michal Hartz then asked the question, but it could have been Michal Hartz. You read the world events, you feel very nervous. So what should you do? You feel anxious. So I think it was Rav Shraga Steinman. It was Shlita, and he said, do you know who runs the world? The person said, yes, Hashem. So Rav Shraga said, v'hu manhig tov. He's a good ruler. He's a good leader. So what are we worried about? If you remember that God runs the world, and he's doing a good job, you have nothing to worry about. And if you know God runs the world, and he's doing a good job, and I don't have kina, taiva, and kavod, because whatever I have is right for me. I'm not giving you musr, I'm giving myself musr. Remember, when Cain got the musr speech, he went to give it to somebody else. Michal Hartz is talking to Michal Hartz. And therefore, someone with discernment will neither have taiva, desire for someone else's possessions, nor chemda. He will not covet the guy's house or wife or animals or servants or car or house. And once a person knows that the Ashes Ish is forbidden to him, I'm not allowed to be with my friend's wife. She could be very beautiful, but it's Asr. Yoser he niskava beinam ibas melech bleva kofri. Oh, that woman who lives on the next block should be more forbidden in your eyes than the princess is to the villager. Al kein hu yismach bechelko. Ah, says Ibn Ezra, if a person can remember this, he will always be sameich bechelko. Also quoting from Perkei Avos, Perkei Dal Mishnah Av, he will always be happy with his portion. Velo yasim elibo lachmor ulihit avos dvar she'enu shalal. And then you won't have any chamda. You will not covet what the other guy has. You will not have taiva, says Ibn Ezra. Kina taiva uncovered will magically, not magically, with a lot of hard work, disappear from your heart. Because you realize that I can have more than Hashem gave me. Ra kasher chalak lo Hashem. And then I will be sameach b'chalko. And then I will not have chemda in my heart. I will not have taiva. And I will not have kina. I will not be like Kayan. Kayan teaches us that with kina, taiva, and kavod, you bring everything down. Kuf and nun are the longest letters in script Aleph, basically. Kiyada shashem lo ratzal teslo. A person must really, says Ibn Ezra, what I don't have means God did not want me to have. Now, a caveat here. Not a caveat, a word of caution. It doesn't mean it's easy. I don't mean to say this is easy. It could be very difficult. We look around and the world seems to be very unfair. That person, Baruch Hashem, has 7, 8, 10 kids. And that person's married 10 years and they can't even have one child. Say, Rebbein Shel, one child you can't give me? My neighbor has 10 and I can't have one child? It's very painful. We have one person in the community who Baruch Hashem lives in a mansion and has a home in this community and has an apartment in Yerushalayim and has servants to take care of their home. And the other person can't even pay their bills and they're on Tom Chesh Shabbos. It's very hard. Hashem, I can't understand. They have such a plethora of material wealth and I can't pay my bills. I'm not saying it's easy, but Amunah teaches us that I have what I'm supposed to have and all my ishtalos in the world is not going to give me more. So for whatever reason, we don't understand the ways of Hashem and his wisdom, he decided I shouldn't have it. Whatever I do, no matter how smart I am, no matter how many plans I come up with, and how many plots, and all my character traits, and all my wisdom, I'm never going to be able to take what's not meant for me. Al kein yivtach b'baro. And therefore, says Ibn Ezra, what's the key to be tochen in your creator? I once heard Ricky Fishbein, she said in my home many years ago in a shir, she added on at the end, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember what she said. She lives down Central Avenue. She said, da'aga, to worry, has all the first letters of the Aleph Beis, Dalet, Aleph, Gimel, Hey, except for Beis, because Beis stands for bitachon. When a person has bitachon, they do not have da'aga. Al kein yivtach b'bara. Says Ibn Ezra, if you don't want to have chemda, if you don't want to have taiva, if you don't have kina and kavod that go along with chemda and taiva, have bitachon in Hashem. So yechal kalenu, he will provide for us, v'yaseh tov b'inav. And then we will do what is right and good in his eyes. We do not want to be like Cain, who brought death to the world. Because Cain, as his name indicates, exuded the midah of kina. And he had taiva. And he wanted the kavod that Hevel has, and he felt it should be for him. And when Hashem gives him a Musar Shmuz, he runs to his brother. He says, listen to the Musar Shmuz that you need. Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to him. Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us. So it's not easy. But these midos bring us down. They bring every Jew down. It's a tent dibra, lo tachmor velo tit aves, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Ibn Ezra says, just like you don't daven for wings to fly to Shemayim, and just you don't daven like you don't daven to sleep with your mother, and just like the commoner in the village doesn't pray to marry the princess because he knows it's not going to happen. So that's where our friend's possessions should be in our eyes. So off limits, they don't even have a place in our heart. And if we do this, says Ibn Ezra, we will truly be samech b'chalki, and a bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer HaKina VaTayve VaKavod Motzin as HaAdam Min Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam should grant us the humility and courage to overcome the sin that crouches at the door, like Hashem told Kayin, so that we can truly imtei tivse eis. We will do good and we will be lifted up, but in unforeseen circumstances. We will continue this Mishnah next week. We thank our friend Malki Sultan, who dedicated the Zecher Nishmas her mother, Chaya Eidel Bashlom Azam and Halevi, Allah HaShalom. And we thank our friend Ellen Goldstein, who is dedicating a Shavach Vaudat HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the good health of her great-grandson, Baruch Hashem. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, Kol Tov, and thank you to all.